Hey folks, this is Joe Sack and I'm a principal consultant with SQL Skills. And this is the security and auditing module for SQL Server 2012. So a brief introduction on what's been changed in SQL Server 2012, a few of the security related features. And I'm going to start off by talking about, first of all, default schema for groups and also user defined server roles. I'll also talk a little bit about server auditing midway through this presentation. So to set some context, let's consider a situation where you have Windows groups, Windows Active Directory groups that you're using for security. So you're not creating separate logins for an individual, and instead you're creating a Windows group, let's say accounting or finance. And in a situation, let's say I'm Joe user and I'm coming in through the finance group and I have permissions to a specific database, and I don't fully qualify my object references. Let's say I create a new object or I'm trying to reference it through a select. In those scenarios, I don't have a default schema associated with that group. So if I create a new object, it's going to be prefixed with my Windows Active Directory login name. Or if I'm referencing it through a select, I might not be selecting the right version of that table if it's the same name but a different schema. So SQL Server 2012, they actually have a default schema for the groups now. So when you are going in through a group, you can actually be routed to a default schema. If you have multiple schemas, so often people are members of multiple groups, the schema with the lowest principal ID, and you can look at that principal ID in the catalogs view, so sys.serverPrincipals, you can look at the lower of the principal IDs will be the default schema that you're associated with. And then if you're creating new objects, that will be associated with that schema instead of having a situation where it's joe.objectName instead of accounting.objectName. And this slide just shows a visualization. So we have Contoso SQL Devs, default schema DBO. So the overall goal is just making sure that people are going against the right objects, that we're not creating schemas that we didn't intend to create, and overall just easing the administration of managing that. So you're still following the best practices by using groups, but and not having to create a bunch of logins that have the default schemas instead. So server level permissions. So this is something that for those of you in areas where compliance is extremely important in your organization, let's say PCI compliance. If you have an auditor that says, I want you to have more separation of duties, there's too many people with sysadmin permissions, you now have this additional option in SQL Server 2012 to create a user-defined server role. In 2008, you didn't have that option. In the databases, you had the ability to create defined user roles, so you didn't have to add somebody to DB owner. But when it came to SQL Server instance level permissions, you had a choice of the fixed server role, so you might add somebody to sysadmin, or creating that principal and then assigning them granular permissions directly instead of efficiently having one group that you can add and remove members from, and then you just manage the permissions at that principal, that group. So that's now an option in SQL Server 2012. You can create it. The syntax is very straightforward. And this next slide just shows a visualization. It's cut off a little bit from my screenshot, but create endpoint and alter endpoint are the two permissions that you would see pointing up to AGA admins. So server level permissions assigned to a group named AGA admins, and then you can add and remove permissions accordingly. And I mentioned the syntax is pretty straightforward. So it's create server role, you can grant, revoke, deny, and then in terms of adding members, it's alter server role, add member, there's remove member syntax, there's the ability to rename the role. So if you want to see a quick example of that, there'll be a separate demo video that covers that specific scenario. One other thing I wanted to show you is just that you can create, for example, a DDL trigger that can monitor, for example, add server role member, drop server role member. And so if people are managing that principal or being removed or added to it, you can actually trigger on that. So in this example, we're basically saying if anybody removes or adds a member, go ahead and insert into audit DBO server role changes and show that event. So pretty straightforward. All right. Now, there have been some changes around server auditing. So those changes include increasing which SKUs support it, and also some changes around the resilience of the server audit process. And then an additional feature about user-defined audit events. So if you want to create server-level audit events, you can do so. And then record filtering, which I'll talk a little bit about. And then the new T-SQL stack information. So in that example, and I don't go into too much more detail on this particular bullet point, but basically if you have a situation where you're auditing, let's say, the access of table XYZ, and you're selecting against that table, let's say you have a scenario somebody's doing a straight ad hoc query against it, and then let's take a scenario where somebody has a store procedure that's doing that actual select. So you call store procedure XYZ, and then you select from that table. Basically, that T-SQL stack information will show you the origins of that store procedure call. So it's just a little bit more information to help provide the context of where that audited event is coming from. So 2008 R2 server audit, it was available, but it was available in enterprise and data center editions, so in developer as well. And standard web and workgroup editions didn't support it. And the thing about that was, if you wanted to use native SQL Server tools for your auditing process, that pretty much meant you were using SQL Trace, especially for the amount of events that you might be interested in. You would have to go with SQL Trace as your solution. Now, SQL Server 2012 brings that support to all SKUs. So now you have the server audit option for all SKUs. The database audit specifications are still for enterprise and data center, or actually in this case enterprise, because I think data center is no longer applicable in this scenario. But you do have that increased support for server audit. The real benefit here is that SQL Trace, while very useful, has much more overhead, and server audit is really based on extended events architecture, so it's extremely lightweight, and it's also flexible because you can create separate audit events, and you could, say, go one to the security log and then one to a binary file, and so it offers some flexibility. It's lightweight, and so that increased support now allows you to have a cohesive strategy across all your different versions, as opposed to saying, okay, we're going to use SQL Trace over here and server audit over here. In terms of resilience, we'll talk a little bit about that. In SQL Server 2008, you could have situations where write failures could silently lose audit records. So that was a possibility. And another aspect in 2008 R2 is that you had two options if there was an issue with your server audit. So you could either shut down the SQL Server instance. So imagine a production server. If something goes wrong with your auditing and you absolutely cannot lose that event, you would shut down the SQL Server instance. And then the second option was to continue, but the continue meant that you're moving past that event that you didn't audit or that you didn't track. So SQL Server 2012 adds a little bit of behind-the-scenes resilience around the automatic recovery. So for example, recovery from file or network errors. And then the other aspect is that there's a third option, and it's called fail operation. So let's say I have a specific event, let's say create login. And I'm saying I have fail operation configured. And let's say my log file has filled up and I don't have rollover set up for whatever reason, or I've created some kind of constraints that no longer allow that audit record to be generated when I'm creating a login. Now, if you have the fail operation, you can basically say, look, that login is going to fail. You can't create it unless I can log it. So it adds an additional layer of protection. I have a feeling you're going to start seeing some blog posts about considerations about how to use the fail operation further, because you have to be careful to make sure that you're auditing in such a way that you don't have a lot of failures. Otherwise, you might be blocking mission critical activities that you don't want to block. But it is an option as opposed to losing the records altogether. So something for you to be aware of. Other aspect is you have the SB audit write system store procedure that allows you to create your own custom user-defined auditable events. And so if you look here, the different parameters are you have the actual user-defined event ID that you can customize, whether or not the activity succeeded from an application perspective, so 0 or 1, and then the actual user-defined information. So you can add this as an event that you would track. The other thing is, if you're familiar with extended events and you've worked with it, you know that there's predicate expressions, so there's ways to filter through predicates. And server audit now has has expanded that support as well. So you can actually add extended events like syntax, or it's actually the same definition, to your server audit. So if there's specific rows that you're interested in, but you want to filter it off based on some of the columns that get returned into your server audit data, you now have that option. So that was a brief summary about the SQL Server 2012 security and auditing enhancements. And so just to recap, so you have user-defined server roles, so you can now have separation of duties in your server roles, where you don't have to give somebody too much, and you also don't have to manage it one principal at a time. You now have this bucket that you can add and remove members from and grant varying permissions or revoke or what have you. And the second thing is schema options. So now if I'm using Windows groups, Active Directory groups, for permissions, which is definitely a great practice, now I have a default schema that I can associate with it. And then you have the auditing improvements. So first of all, it's expanded out, so you can have server audits across all SKUs. And then there's more resilience options, there's user-defined events, and then there's enhanced filtering. So I hope you found this useful, and thanks for watching. And if you get a chance, check out the demo as well.